Good morning. It is, again, I told you I was called here to help y'all learn more about forgiveness, because you know you always having to extend me so much grace. It is wonderful to be here with you today, and again to have the choir behind me and all your beautiful faces in front of me. It is February, and I think this morning was technically the coldest morning we've had in forever, but it is certainly probably harder than that. It's been colder, but is that what it is? Okay. Yeah, it feels, but it's getting lighter every day. We are moving towards spring, indeed, yes. And today, I just wanted to remind you of just a couple of things. We have our book group meeting this Wednesday here at 12:30, talking about the book Tattoos on the Heart. If anybody's interested in learning more about that or reading it even later, it's a fantastic book. And this Thursday night is our family Valentine dance party. We have a lot of folks signed up for that, like a lot of little families from the preschool and just the people who've come before. So if you're interested in helping with any way or that, or you just want to stop by and dance, come on out this Thursday, 6 o'clock. Session's going to meet tomorrow night here at church, right? Right? Great. And I don't think there are any other announcements unless I have been. Okay. All right. Well, then let us just begin by remembering that our God has gathered us into this community. Oh God, you've made this place for us. And let what we say and do here be real and honest and prepare us for the life in the world. May it be so. I invite you to join me in our call to worship this morning. We are called to bring a new understanding of God, that God so loves the world.
We are the salt of the earth.
We are called to bring a new hope in God, that God gives us new life.
We are the light of the world.
We are called to follow the commandments and the law.
The law of God is to love God and to love one another and ourselves.
Come, let us be the salt of the earth, the light of the world.
Come, let us love one another.
Let us join together in our love of God to worship and follow Jesus. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, number 749, Come Live in the Light.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Tender and merciful God, we confess that while you made us salt and light, sometimes we do not believe it. Too often we have held back in sharing the gifts that you made us to be for the good of all creation. May we reclaim who we are, your children, agents of your love. Amen. Dear ones, assuredly God forgives all of our wrongdoings, those we committed consciously and unconsciously. And we thank you, God, for your grace. Give us the strength to forgive others as you continuously forgive. Amen. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with some sign of God's love. Peace be with you guys.
In the midst of pain. Me too. I choose love. I choose peace. Regardless of what happens to us, we always have a choice. It's how we will spiritually respond to what life brings us. I choose love. So do you. Let us join together in prayer. Let's begin with a moment of silence. You have something you need to say to God today? Yes, you do. You have someone you need to pray for today? Yes, you do. Maybe you've promised someone, I'll be praying for you, but you forgot. And now is the moment to remember to lift that loved one up in prayer. So let's begin with silence. Oh God, you have called us to be people of prayer, and we give you thanks. You've called us to cry aloud and not hold back, and we give you thanks. You've invited us to cast all of our cares upon you, and we give thanks. We come before you, O God, with both joy and concern, with gratitude, but also grief. Most of all, we come before you trusting that you hear the prayers of your people and the prayers of the hungry and the weary, as well as the hopeful. We pray for the world today in great need. We pray for the people of Africa, where communities continue to show remarkable resilience amid conflict and food insecurity and political instability. We lament the violence that displaces families there, and systems that deny people daily bread. May your light rise in Africa. We pray for Asia, that huge continent where ancient cultures and emerging futures come together. A place that has received natural disasters that seem to grow more intense each year. And so we pray for those grieving losses from earthquakes and floods, systemic violence. We pray for those living under fear of occupation. We give you thanks for those who work to bring dialogue, to bring acts of violence into moments of reconciliation across religious and ethnic divides. May your light rise in Asia. We pray for Europe. We lament the presence of war, the fatigue and hopelessness that often settles in to places after years of conflict. We give you thanks for every moment of movement toward diplomacy, of every door that could open to stop the violence and the wars so that the stranger can be welcomed. May your light rise in Asia. We pray for Australia and the Pacific lands, for communities facing long-term consequences of climate change, for many Indigenous peoples whose voices are ignored. Teach us to honor the earth as your good creation and to live gently upon it. May your light rise in Asia. We pray for North America and the Arctic. We lament every place of division, violence, policies that burden the poor and protect the powerful. Communities stretched thin in fear and exhaustion, even in our own land. We give you thanks for courageous networks of organizing, teaching, advocating. We thank you for every person who refuses to accept injustice as inevitable. May your light rise in North America. We pray for South America and Antarctica, where struggles for democratic stability weigh heavily on many, where many have been exploited of land and labor. We give you thanks for vibrant movements among people for justice, for churches standing with the poor, for communities protecting forests, rivers, one another. May your light rise in South America, Antarctica, for your whole world. God, you have called us to pour ourselves out for the hungry, to reach out to wherever we see the needs of the afflicted. Your promise is that your light will rise in the darkness and gloom, and it will be like the noonday sun. So make us a people who do not turn away from our own flesh and blood, who understand faith not as escape but as commitment, not as performance but as participation in your healing work. Oh God, bind us together across continents and cultures. Show us how to live as your redeemed people. Show us how to let go. Show us how to share. Show us how to shelter. Show us how to serve, that your light may rise everywhere. We pray in hope, trusting that you are still at work among us and will always be, so long as we journey with you and together with one another. We bring you our prayers in the name of Jesus the Christ, the light of the world. And as he prayed and taught, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for that prayer. I remember it was more than a decade ago now. I was just getting to know Pastor and First Lady Clifton, and I think you can tell something about people by their bumper stickers. And you had a bumper sticker on your old car, and it said, "God bless the whole world." And no exceptions. And thank you for reminding us of that as we turn to God in prayer with you. Thank you. Now I invite you to please rise again in body or spirit as we sing our hymn of meditation, verses 1, 2, and 5, Christ Be Our Light. Please be seated as our ushers come forward for this morning's offering.
Generous God, giver of all that is good, we return just a portion of what we have received to you and may it be used for the good of all your creation.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Thank you, Lynn. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. If you were here last week, you might notice, or maybe you don't notice, but last Sunday afternoon, after I was at the personal care home, I got my hair cut. I really needed it. It had been a year, I'm sure it had. And when the young woman had finished, she turned the chair so that I was facing the mirror, and she asked how I liked it. And she was lovely and just so much fun to be with for those moments when she was cutting my hair. And so I told her how great it looked. But the truth is, I couldn't see at all because she hadn't given me my glasses back yet. So I couldn't see anything. I'm like, oh, it's so great. And it felt different too. So, and then it was cold. So I went and I just put my hat on and I went in my car, and it was still cold. And it was so cold that I slept with my hat on. And the next morning, when I got up and I took my hat off to get into the shower, I'm walking past the mirror and I screamed because I live alone, but somebody was in my apartment. I had no idea who this person was with this short, like, curly, wild hair. I don't know what happened. And I have to say, I'm really embarrassed because that's the second time in my life that's happened to me. You'd think that I would know by now. A cat came running. And it was really odd, I don't know if you've ever had that occasion, not to recognize yourself. And that moment was funny in retrospect, but there are other times in my life when not recognizing myself was true, and it wasn't funny at all when it was deeply painful. And that can happen to a lot of us at any stage in life. Sometimes when circumstances shift, when grief or fear or pressure changes us in ways that we didn't choose. And I know this because I've sat with people, because I've experienced it, and also I've sat with people who were absolutely convinced that they had become somebody else. Years ago, I sat with a brokenhearted 16-year-old girl who said, I don't know what happened to me. I hate the person I am. I'm not the person I was last year at my old school, because her family had moved and she was in a new place and it was much bigger and she was miserable and she was hurting and she was lonely. And when she got to the new school, she found other students who were also miserable and hurting and wounded and lonely. And they all were finding and found destructive ways to ease the pain. And she did too. And now she was skipping classes and doing things that she knew were hurting herself and others just to dull that pain. And years ago, I sat with a middle-aged dad who found himself unable to control his feelings. And he was lashing out violently toward his family, something he'd never done before, something he could never have imagined himself doing before. And he said sort of the same thing. He said, I hate who I am now. I hate looking in the mirror. One woman told me, I never ever thought I would be this bitter old woman. I am now the kind of woman I used to make fun of, the one I said I was never going to be. And let me tell you, these are beautiful people. And maybe you know people like them. Maybe you felt like them when you're no longer you. And Jesus, right here, is telling us otherwise. We read these verses, and to some of us, they're familiar. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I've heard those verses so many times. But I never realized this until this time, studying this scripture, reading this all these years. I never looked at it this way. What Jesus says, he doesn't give a command here. Not before he gives two statements of fact. You are salt and you are light. It doesn't say this is how you can become salt someday. Or even follow me and you will be light. He does ask that question, what good is salt when it loses its saltiness? And that's a tricky question. And I'm not saying that Jesus knew that salt, the chemically stable compound, sodium chlorine, it actually does not spoil, expire, or change its fundamental molecular structure. It might change a little bit, but that composition does not change. It was always what it was and always will be. And so Jesus' words, as we find them here, are well wisely chosen. Today, salt, it's a health risk or something maybe to make popcorn more tasty. But that's not the way it was in the ancient world. Salt was seen quite differently. What Jesus is saying by saying that we are salt, salt then, your deepest nature has not changed. Salt preserves the good. Salt was necessary for life in the ancient world, and it did not change, and it does not change. It does not change. And there are times in our lives when we felt that we maybe have lost that inner goodness, that inner light. But that is not what Scripture is telling us today. You are still you, salt. And light. About 3 years ago, I started talking to a woman who lives in my apartment complex. And when I first met her, she's always walking her doggy. And when I first met her, she was really heartbroken about things that had gone on in her denominational church. The church had split some years ago. And so she had stopped going to her church in Manassas. And because she was very sad with the way they had gone, and she was simply brokenhearted. And various awful circumstances in her life, one hit after another, and she was wounded. And every day we'd talk just a little bit, and I recommended a little church to her that was sort of like the church she had come from. It was Episcopalian church, had split off from the church that she had belonged to. And I said, why don't you go there? If you love the liturgy, just give it a try. And so 2 years ago, she went on Christmas Eve for the very first time. And she just told me this story this week. She said, I never told you what happened. I knew she was now going to that church all the time. But she said, two Christmases ago, I finally went to that church. And I thought the church roof was going to come down on me. Because I thought, I don't belong here. God is done with me. Church is done with me. My life is a mess. And when I sat down, I was crying, and I knew I'd cry the whole time. But just then, a man came in and sat next to me, and he was sobbing and sobbing. And I didn't know this man. I didn't know what to do. But I just took his hand, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he explained that his husband had died in the fall, and this was his first Christmas attending the church without him. And he said, I'm gonna be a mess. And she said, "I'm a mess. I'm right here with you." And they sat through that church service together. And she told me, she said, "You know, Ing, I don't know, but if I wouldn't have been able to say honestly, I need something here because I am hurting. And if I wouldn't have been able somehow to believe that there was something still good in me, I never would have gone in that door. And I never would have reached out to that man." And she realized that she was still herself, still that beloved child. Those 2 years when she wasn't going to church anywhere, it was more than 2 years, those many years when she wasn't going to church, she was still salt and she was still light. But now she can sense it. And so I wonder, for any of us or for someone maybe that we love who is feeling this way, that their deepest nature has somehow changed, that they are beyond repair. Somebody who can't recognize himself when they look in the mirror because grief has reshaped them or fear has hardened them in ways they never expected. Jesus is looking at you, at all of us, and saying, without qualification, without hesitation, without squinting, "I know exactly who you are. You are salt. You are light. Your essential goodness is preserved. Thanks be to God." I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we sing our final hymn, "Live Into Hope."
Of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, and all those who believe that no one loves them, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen. Give me praise.